And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie back with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. We'll get to your calls as well this hour. Ben, you're an expert in skin. What causes itchy feet?
You know, the feet are the extremities, and plus you got socks on and shoes on. So when there's a problem with the blood circulating, when it's thick, or the heart's not working as well as it should, or the kidneys aren't functioning like they should, you don't get blood to the extremities. And this is one of the reasons why diabetics have notoriously bad feet. Not only dry, itchy feet, but also leading cause of amputation of the feet. So typically, you're dealing with a circulatory problem when you have dry, itchy feet, although it can be compounded by socks and shoes, which keep the moisture in, keep bacteria and funguses present, and that can cause things like athlete's foot, fungal infections, etc., and that'll exacerbate the itchiness. But again, EFAs, whenever you have dry, itchy, anything, feet, hands, any part of the body, ultimate EFAs, ultimate EFA plus.
Interesting. There's a horrible story we had on the air last week about a family who had to amputate their son's arms and legs.
Why?
Because he had some kind of streptobacteria.
Oh, my God.
Horrible.
That is heartbreaking. How old was the kid?
He was in his teens.
Oh, my God. That's heartbreaking. Yeah, you know, it's a jungle out there, George.
It really is.
That's why you got to take care of yourself. And by the way, the immune system is designed to take care of most bacteria. But the things we do as part of our 21st century American lifestyle all combine to keep our immune system suppressed, and that's one of the reasons why we have bacterial problems that we need antibiotics for, which end up causing bacterial resistance, by the way, and flesh-eating bacteria.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go east of the Rockies. Vinny's with us in New Jersey. Good to have you with us, Vinny.
New Jersey.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Wonderful. Doing, thank you.
Hey, Vinny.
I'm on Eliquis for blood clot in my lower calf on my right leg. I'm type 2 diabetic, and I suffer from diverticulitis. And the newest thing is anal fissures that they want to do surgery. That's the most important thing that I would like to try not to have surgery for that. Is there anything I could use?
100%. First of all, you got to get the food under control. The diverticulitis, which is an intestinal issue, swelling of the lining of the intestine, that's the start of everything. That's the start of the type 2 diabetes. That's the start of the blood and circulatory problems. And, of course, it's related to the anal fissure. So get the digestive system under control, and there's lots of ways to do that. First of all, you got to change, you know, as hard as it is, you got to change the way you eat, and you got to eat less. And that's one of the cool things about getting on a micronutrient nutritional supplement program. One of the first things that people notice when they start the Beyond Tangy Tangerine is they don't eat as much. And so getting on a micronutrient program like the Healthy Start Pack or the Healthy Blood Sugar Pack will go a long way towards making a difference in terms of helping you control foods. Second thing you want to do is make sure you're using the ultimate enzymes with your meals. Make sure you're doing a little bit of apple cider vinegar with your ultimate enzymes, and that will help control the bacteria in the intestine. Ultimate enzymes also have bile, and that's also going to help control the bacteria. People don't realize this, by the way. Stomach acid and bile are antibacterial. They kill excess bacteria in the intestine, which are involved in diverticulitis and other digestive health issues, and in fact, other body issues. And then also there's a wonderful product that we talked about earlier called I-26, which anybody who has any kind of digestive health issue that involves bacteria, which it sounds like you do, should be on. I would get on the I-26 as well. So, and then, of course, probiotics and nightly essence is something else. Focus on digestive health. Everything else will start to come under control. Later on, you're going to have to work with the blood sugar, too, and help do things to thin the blood. But start with the digestive system, the intestine.
Ben, can these fissures in his colon turn into anything worse?
Oh, heck yeah. Hey, boy, these are anal fissures. But, yeah, I don't even, you know, God forbid. Fissures are, and any kind of deteriorating tissue, can be a precursor to cancer. Yeah, absolutely. That needs to be corrected. But that's what I'm saying. The diverticulitis is the cause of everything else. That's the thing, George. The small intestine is the center of the body. Did you ever play basketball when you were a kid, when you were in high school?
Yeah, I played football and baseball primarily.
In basketball, they tell you, always look at the guy's belly. Don't go for head fakes or, you know, fakes with the ball. Always focus on the belly. The belly doesn't lie. the center of the body, which is where the small intestine is, that is where everything starts to tumble under out of control in terms of bodily breakdown. And you know what, George? It happens at a shockingly young age. You know, 30% of babies are born cesarean section. And when you're born cesarean section, and older patients, well, older folks, it's even worse, because back then they didn't even know about how important these bacteria were that bathe the baby. As the baby's coming out of the birth canal, the baby is coated with bacteria, and those bacteria become that baby's best friends, best health friends, little health angels for the rest of that baby's life. But 30% of babies don't get that. And then babies aren't breastfed long enough, and then moms aren't nutritionally competent. So the digestive breakdown of the digestive system, specifically the small intestine, starts for some people in the womb, for most people within a couple of days to weeks after they're born. So this is the key to everything, is digestive health and wellness, specifically at the level of the intestine.
Eric's with us in Indiana. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Hello, George. Hey, Ben. Just want to ask, does constipation contribute or cause cancer?
Well, you know, I don't like the term cause cancer, because cancer is really the end result of a cell. By the way, there's no such thing as cancer, like breast cancer and prostate cancer. There's cell cancer. Cancer is a cell issue. It's not an organ issue.
That happens to be in those
organs
exactly. Or locations.
It's a cell issue. We focus on the organ, but the problem is the cell. And so what's going wrong with cancer? What happens? What is this craziness about cancer? Well, cancer represents is a cell's coping mechanism. A cancer cell is a sociopathic cell. Under ordinary circumstances...
Within your body, it's not something you get from...
Correct.
Some virus or
cell.
Anything like
it's
that.
It's your cell. What happens is, George, it takes a lot of dedication for a cell to become a liver or a lung or a heart or a brain or a bone or a skin or anything else. A cell has to give up its life in a way. It has to do a Christian thing, really. It gives itself up so that we can have life. And so this takes a lot of dedication for a cell to do that. But if a cell is toxic, if a cell is starved, if a cell is suffocated, eventually, after a while, it's going to say, you know what? I'm not going to be a liver. I'm just going to go out and divide myself. I'm not going to be a bone. I'm not going to become a skin or a breast or anything else. I'm just going to divide. And this is what a cancer cell is. A cancer cell is a cell that is at its wit's end.
Well, now Eric's concern is cancer.
Well, here's the thing. Cancer is the end result of toxicity. It's the end result of starvation of cells and suffocation of cells. So the question is, does constipation cause cancer? Not literally, but the toxicity that builds up in the body upon constipation, and whatever's causing the constipation, either the toxicity or the leaky gut or the messed up gut bacteria, the nutritional deficiency, those will make a cell starved, suffocated, or toxic, and then the cell, in turn, will decide, hey, I'm just going to keep dividing, much like a bacteria. In fact, cancer cell is much like a bacterial cell. It ferments, it doesn't really work with oxygen, and it just divides. And so we got to get this idea that cigarettes cause cancer and radiation causes, well, you know, I don't leave radiation out of it, but all these things that cause cancer, it's not that they cause cancer, it's that the cellular distress is...
But don't they contribute to the breakdown of the cell? Yeah.
Yes, that's right. But we want to get this idea that this is something outside of us that's doing it. It's not something outside of us. It's the toxicity that's in our body.
Why can't normal cells beat cancer cells?
They can. Most of the time they do. The vast, 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 vast majority of the time they do. 99% of the time they do. But every once in a while, one leaks out. In fact, there's a self-destruct program in cells. And when cells are mutated to become cancerous, they'll kill themselves. They'll commit suicide. But everyone, and then there's immune cells that will kill cancer cells. Everybody gets cancer all the time, George. We're getting cancer right now in terms of cancer.
Well, I've always said since I was a kid, every human has cancer cells
Absolutely.
In their system.
There was an article that came out in the New York Times in 2011, and it talked about how cancer reverses itself, and doctors can't figure out how it is. Well, it reverses itself because there's systems in the body to kill the cancer. But every once in a while, one leaks through, and then that's when you're off to the cancer races, you know? So we want to understand that the cancer cell, first of all, is our cell. It's not an enemy cell. It's our cell. And it's just at its wit's end. It doesn't know what else to do. So to restore the environment of the body back to a health-conducive state by eliminating toxicity, by making sure that you're using nutritional supplementation, and making sure you're breathing correctly and moving your body. And, George, it's all the things that we all know we're supposed to do, and we just don't do it.
Tom's got a text or tweet for you. What do you have, Thomas?
Hey, Ben, Helen from North Dakota would like to know how you feel about drinking kombucha for digestive issues.
It's great.
Explain what it is. Tell us what it is.
Kombucha is a liquid that is produced by a mushroom ferment. And people will put a mushroom in their fridge, and the mushroom will ferment will get fermented, and the liquid will have all the bacteria and the fungal stuff inside of it, and you drink it. And it tastes a little alcohol-y slightly, but it's amazing for stomach acid, for help you digest your food at the level of the stomach and then downstream. Plus, it gives you a kind of good feeling, it's kind of a relaxing feeling. It has a nice mental effect.
What's the name of that cabbage that people eat? Starts with a K, doesn't it?
Kale?
No.
Cabbage to people? I don't know, but cabbage is amazing food. I don't know what you're thinking.
Let's go to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Wayno, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Serge. Pharmacist Ben. I've got a comment and a question about vascular improvement in circulation.
Yes, sir.
The comment is that most common cause of death is heart circuit disease, and the main cause and occurrence is cholesterol. Cholesterol is therefore the most dangerous substance in the world. This substance kills more people than alcohol, nicotine, and drugs combined, and it's said that 94% of the cases of cholesterol causes death under people of the age of 80. Now, cholesterol destroys health. If it did not accumulate in our blood vessels, we all would easily live to 120 years of age. Now, I'm wondering, what is the best thing for vascular clearing of the bad type of cholesterol? Because we know there's two different types of cholesterol, right? Well,
there's not two different types of cholesterol.
They call it good and bad.
They call it. There's just one cholesterol. They call it good and bad because one comes from the liver into to the organs and the tissues and the cells, and the other gets stored in the liver. So it's the direction that it goes. And by the way, HDL and LDL, the so-called good and bad cholesterol, LDL is good cholesterol. It's important for the immune system. It's important for building things. It's got a major role to play in health. Cholesterol deposits in the vascular system, in the blood vessels, because the blood vessels are damaged. And the cholesterol is a protective mechanism. It's a Band-Aid. And then you got calcium and other minerals, and they form plaques, and that is a problem. But the real issue is the elevated cholesterol secondary to the blood sugar, and that's a whole other issue. However, Wayne's point is very well taken as far as the disturbance in the circulatory health and the vascular health secondary to these cholesterol deposits. And one of the best things you could do is something called chelation. I don't know if you ever heard of this.
Yeah, we just talked about it a couple weeks ago.
It's amazing. And the doctors don't like it or they don't believe in it, but I don't care. It is just amazing. We talk about dirty blood. This is what Wayne was referring to is partially what I mean when I say dirty blood. It's these cholesterol plaques, among other things. So chelation cleans out the blood. And there's lots of ways to chelate. You can chelate with nutrition. Vitamin C is a chelating agent.
There's a company that makes special supplements for that, too.
Absolutely there are. Healthy Brain and Heart Pack has got all the natural chelating agents in it. And then you can also go to a chiropractor, a doctor, or a naturopath and have something called EDTA put right in the blood. You can benefit from chelation therapy just to keep for longevity. You know, we all have heavy metals just from the water we're drinking. You know, there's heavy metals everywhere, and those things deposit, and chelation clears the body out of heavy metals. So for keeping the blood clean, I highly recommend, in addition to chelating agents like you'll find in the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack, also niacin, by the way, is a great vasodilator, opens up blood vessels. And then vitamin C, believe it or not, George, is a great chelating agent. Vitamin C is like... It's like I know you like baseball, George. Vitamin C, you know how there's baseball players and then there's Babe Ruth, right?
That's right.
Vitamin C is the Babe Ruth of vitamins.
I don't know how Babe got as good as he was. He was grossly out of shape.
I know, but you can hit the
ball. I don't get it.
because it's reflexes. A lot of baseball players. You ever hear of this Cecil Fielder? You know, a lot of these.
Oh,
guys,
yeah, he used to play for Detroit.
That's right. A lot of these big guys, you know, they just got good hand-eye coordination, quick reflexes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he's a great pitcher too, right?
Babe, he was for a while, then they put him in the outfield.
Yeah. How about Shohei Ohtani? You've been watching him?
Been watching everything. I'm in St. Louis where Adam Wainwright just got his 200th career win.
Now he's
going to retire.
I can't believe he's been pitching that long. I remember watching him 20 years ago.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Next up, let's go to whose turn is it? It is Aaron in Pasadena, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi there. So in a nutshell, Tommy and I have diagnosed me with AID, which is autoimmune disaster. I have lupus, Sjogren's, fibromyalgia, sinus tachycardia, degenerative disc disease. I take hydroxychloroquine, amitriptyline, propranolol, you name it.
Gosh,
I've been doing so for a long time.
Guess what part of the body is responsible for every single one of your autoimmune diseases?
Could it be my heart or my stomach?
you're closer with the stomach, but it's really your intestine. And it may start off with the stomach, really. This condition of dysbiosis, or messed up gut bacteria, I keep saying dysbiosis, that means messed up gut bacteria, is behind everything, but especially autoimmune diseases, which break my heart because they're so easy to deal with. And the doctors will tell you there's nothing they could do, there's no cure, we don't know what causes it, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you right now what causes it. Entrance of toxins into the bloodstream through a leaky gut following something called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And you can take that to the bank. You know, I have a textbook here sitting in my library called, and I don't want anybody to freak out about this textbook, but this is a textbook, okay? And this is not for the general public. This is for academia. It's called Vaccines and Autoimmunity. And the reason vaccines cause autoimmunity is because when you put things into the bloodstream, George and Linda, when you put things into the bloodstream, you initiate immune reactions, and these immune reactions will eventually hit the various organs and tissues of the body.
That's right.
Autoimmunity is called, by the way, horror autotoxicus because it's horrible. And fibromyalgia, by the way, also involves the intestine. That's not exactly an autoimmune issue, but that also involves the intestine. And this is something that even doctors some are starting to understand this. There's a complex of bacteria that live in the intestine called the estrobilome. And the estrobilome helps you process estrogen. Do you know 90% of fibromyalgia patients are women? 9 out of 10. It's very
rare.
That's
huge. Huge.
Men,
20,
right?
30 seconds left, Ben.
Oh, okay. Anybody who has fibromyalgia should be focusing on estrogen as well as the intestine. Autoimmune is also the intestine. Get on the Healthy Start Pack and throw in the Nightly Essence and the Ultimate Enzymes and the I-26 for all folks who have autoimmune disease. Thanks, Linda.
You like that, don't you?
Love the I-26. I take it every day.
Website to go is criticalhealthnews.com. The toll-free number, Aaron, if you need to call, if you missed anything Ben said, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And we will be back with final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. We'll get to your calls in just a second. Ben, I've got to ask you an Edgar Cayce question, late prophet, of course.
Love Edgar Cayce.
He's always said, and this is what's so fascinating to me, that you eat a couple almonds a day, it will prevent cancer. Now, he didn't say if you had cancer, it'll fix you or anything like that. He simply said if you eat a couple almonds a day, it'll prevent cancer.
You know what's in it's an almond, right?
Well, what is it?
Oh, Laetrile.
Uh-huh.
Oh, banned by
It's also an apricot seeds.
That's right. So, you know, did your mom or mother ever tell you not to swallow seeds, not to swallow apple seeds or watermelon seeds?
Nope, she never told me that.
She never told you that. Well, some mothers tell kids that. That's because seeds are medicinal. Seeds contain things that nature uses to prevent animals from eating seeds.
Pumpkin seeds are great for you.
They're medicinal. Seeds are very powerful medicines, but they're also very powerful, have very powerful toxins sometimes. And the point being, when an animal eats the seed, it won't eat the seed any longer. This is what gluten is. These are protective molecules that nature makes to keep animals and humans from eating the seeds.
So what is it about? What is it about these almonds then, the Laetrile?
Yeah,
because
the Laetrile.
I remember as a kid, There was this big stuff about Laetril, people going to Mexico for
That's
it
right.
and stuff.
That's right. You don't hear about it as much.
But the government shunned it and put it down.
Yeah, they're not interested in having any of these alternative things. In fairness, Laetril is a toxin, but so is chemotherapy. You know, so the whole idea, you know, using these kinds of substances is kind of like using chemotherapy, except it's a natural form of chemotherapy. Nonetheless, Laetril is a toxin. It's also known as amygdalin, by the way. And it's this bitter alkaloid kind of substance that has anti-cancer properties.
Well, if Casey was right, he did it in his trance state. But if he was right, how does it work?
What are its anti-cancer properties?
How does it work? How does it fight cancer?
It kills the cells.
Wouldn't that be easy to test?
Yeah, it would be easy to test, and they're I would say it probably doesn't work because if it worked that well, people would be using it. Again, cancer is caused by toxicity by a stress on the cells. You can't really cure cancer or reverse cancer by killing the cells. That's not a good strategy because as long as the environment is conducive to carcinogenesis, to the cell becoming cancerous, it's going to come back. And this is why cancers come back, and this is why they can only tell you, you're okay for 5 years or for 4 years or for 3 years. You've got to change the environment that the cancer cell is living in. And by the way, George, this battle between the environment and the disease is something that's been going on since the drugs, is the advent of the pharmacomedical model. There was a guy named Claude Bouchamp who said, hey, it's the environment of the body that's causing the illness. There was another guy named Louis Pasteur who said, no, it's not. It's the cells. It's the bacteria that are causing the toxin. Well, Louis Pasteur won out, but even on his deathbed, supposedly, Louis Pasteur said, you know what? Claude Bouchamp was right. It's the environment. It's the terrain that causes the cancer or causes the infection or causes the disease, not the cell or the symptom, the apparent symptom itself. You've got to work on the environment that the toxin or the disease is showing up in.
Let's go to Chris in Ohio, west of the Rockies. He's on the west of the Rockies line, but he's not west of the Rockies. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Chris.
I used to be west of the Rockies. I still have a program on my phone.
That's okay. That's all right.
What do you do to reverse retinitis pigmentosa?
Yeah, that's a terrible condition. Retinitis pigmentosa is deterioration of the retina, pretty much. That's it. It's the deposition of old tissue and old various damaged cells in the retina. So what you do to reverse it? Well, you've got to figure out what causes it in the first place. Same cause as everything else, although blood sugar is the first thing that I would think of. Retinitis pigmentosa and blood sugar problems and diabetes and messed up blood sugar go hand in hand. I call, by the way, messed up blood sugar dysglycemia to distinguish it from the name of the disease. You know, doctors, the medical folks own the names of the diseases, George. You can't say the names of the diseases, but you can say the biochemistry. The biochemistry is dysglycemia, and that's where I'd be focusing on. I'd be getting on the healthy blood sugar pack, treating yourself like a diabetic. You may have been diagnosed as such, but treating yourself as if you were one, and then get on the healthy blood sugar pack. And you might want to throw in the Vision FX and the Ocutiv, which is really, really nice.
That's got lutein in it, doesn't it?
I was going to tell you, when you take the Ocutiv and the Vision FX, the same pigments like lutein and zeaxanthin and a few others, the same pigments that protect your eyes from the sun will protect your skin from the sun, and you won't sunburn or suffer from photo damage as readily. If you're going to go out camping or not camping, but golfing or tennis or lay on the beach, and you don't want to burn, or you're one of those folks who burns readily, get yourself on the Ocutiv and the Vision FX for a couple of weeks before you go plan on your vacation, and then you'll find that you won't be burning anywhere near as readily.
And, Chris, call this number if you missed anything that Ben said, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Ben?
Hey, Ben, this one's from Gabriel in Lansing, Michigan. He wants to know what it means if a toenail becomes black.
Yeah, that's probably a fungal infection, and that's not uncommon. Have you noticed all these commercials for toenail fungus?
Oh, my God, the stuff you kind of put down on your toenail,
it's the fungus. And fungal infections are becoming a big problem, by the way, probably because people's bacteria is thrown off. Nature has set up a system in the body where the bacteria will kill the fungus and the fungus will kill the bacteria. Antibiotics come from funguses. Funguses make things that kill bacteria and vice versa. So when we do things that throw off our bacteria, such as drinking chlorinated water, eating processed food, eating a lot of refined sugars, these things throw off the gut bacteria and the fungus overgrow. So the first thing you want to do if you have toenail fungus or any kind of fungal infection, really, which, by the way, are notoriously difficult to treat. Fungus have spores, and it's hard for the medicine to get through those spores. You want to work on your bacteria. That means things like we talked about earlier, the nightly essence and the I-26, and things that help you with your intestinal bacteria. And then any kind of fungal infection, you should always go low-sugar, ketogenic diet. There was a guy named William Crook who wrote a wonderful book called The Yeast Connection many, many years ago, probably in the 60s, I believe, 60s or 70s. And he talked about going low-sugar to cut off the source of nutrition to the fungus.
Ben, what is toe jam?
that's just stuff. George.
You're talking about the remedies, right?
Toe jam? I thought
I'd throw that out there.
Just gook in your toes.
Lori in Brighton, Illinois. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Lori.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
Going on?
Good. It's good to talk to you. I love to listen to your show.
Thank you.
You know, since this is weird, the last time I called in was my first time, and I've been sick ever since. I'm not saying you make me sick, George.
No, we don't do that. But what happened to you?
Well, I'm pretty positive I've had COVID.
Oh, geez.
I guess it's the new strain because, I mean, my vaccinations are current, you know, and it's been really hard on me. Mm. I mean, I feel a lot better right now. I just am not feeling like I'm getting over it. And
are you supplementing?
I take some vitamins, but. Okay, this might be a problem, too. Like, when I eat, I feel like I swallowed a watermelon, and then I don't feel like taking the vitamins because I don't want to put anything else in my tummy. And I'll just try to wait a little bit so I can take my vitamins, and, like, an hour goes by, 2 hours go by. And for about the last 3 or 4 days or so, I didn't even take any vitamins, but I finally took them today. I take a multivitamin and one that's an ultimate eye support with astaxanthin and zeaxanthin, and I take extra vitamin D3.
Well, if you could fix one thing on your body, Lori, what would that be?
If I could fix one thing.
And get rid of it.
Oh, gosh, there's so many. Because, I mean, I have also a seizure disorder.
Oh, boy.
And the illness triggered it, and so that didn't help either. But I want to tell you that I was using the, like, mineral ice, you know, the blue menthol gel stuff, you know, muscle rub stuff, on everything that was hurting, from my seizure stuff and from the COVID stuff, and it helped a lot. And the menthol stuff helped my breathing, too, along with the Vicks Vapor Rub, you know. If it wasn't for that, I'm not sure what I would have done because I just felt like it was all...
Do you feel like you're getting better or worse?
Well, I feel I'm better. I'm just... Like today, I told my son, this pressure that was in my upper abdomen and all through my back and my upper abdomen and everything, it was kind of really hard, you know, and made it hard to breathe and stuff. And that's partly what I was using the menthol gel on that did help some, you know.
All right, we're going to have Ben give you an overall glimpse.
Yeah, I tell you, I got a nice picture of what's going on. Do you ever feel a sense of fullness in your stomach and kind of like, things you mentioned, swallowed a watermelon. Is this kind of like a sense of fullness after you eat or between meals where you don't feel like putting anything in your stomach?
Yeah, it's been being like that for quite a while.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you've got a full-blown vitamin B1 deficiency. I get on the B1. In fact, you know what? if you do this, if you can we get a phone number for this gal or an address for this gal from Tommy?
Tommy can get that after the show.
I'm going to send you out some Beyond Tangy Tangerine. That might make all the difference in the world for you, ma'am, especially with the migraines. And I would also start practicing some slow, deep breathing. Get online and look up Wim Hof breathing and start practicing Wim Hof breathing, and that'll help you with your breathing because that could be throwing off your the neurology in your brain. But I'm thinking that you have what I was talking about earlier, this subclinical beriberi condition, which is following a vitamin B1 deficiency. That's what it sounds like to me, and that could also be involved to mess up the digestive system. But I'm going to send you out some Beyond Tangy Tangerine. That's got a lot of thiamine in there. If you could give Tommy your information.
Okay, get her phone number, Tom, and give it to Ben after the show. First-time caller, Monica in Florida. Hey, Monica, go ahead.
Hey there.
Hi, Monica.
I appreciate you guys very much.
Thank you.
I have a niece that has fibroids. She has been taking the longevity product for a couple of years now, but this started, this condition started about a year ago, and the fibroids bleed, and she only has 3 or 4 days a month when she doesn't bleed. She is allergic to many things like beans and carrots and celery.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at the Xerofem on longevity, but that has carrots in it.
Xerofem's not going to hurt her, but she's got to work on that intestinal health. That sounds like a condition that's involving a chemical called histamine, which you've heard of.
Minute left, Ben.
We have heard of in terms of antihistamines. Bacteria produce histamine, and that'll make her allergic to all kinds of foods. That will also cause fibroids and inflammation. Fibroids are miserable. I assume you're talking about fibroids in her female system. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get her on the Ultimate EFAs. Get her on the I-26. Get her on the Ultimate Enzymes and have her wash it down with apple cider vinegar. Use the Nightly Essence probiotics, and then eliminate problem foods. But as soon as she starts to work on her intestinal health, she may find that some of those foods that she can't eat, she can tolerate because of the histamine, once she gets that histamine under control.
What I find admirable, too, Ben, is so many people calling for other people.
Nice, right?
It really is. Ben, stay on the line. Tom will get you the phone number, and you can ship it out, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, George.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs, he's with us every 6 weeks. He rotates every 3 weeks with Doc Wallach. So in 3 weeks, Doc Wallach from Critical Health News will be here. And, folks, here's the website again, criticalhealthnews.com. And here's the toll-free number to call anytime for assistance, 1-855-949-7234, which is the same as 1-855-949-RADIO. Up next, demons and UFOs, stand by.